From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Hawk Off the Press. My name is Madison Herzig. I am the Gazette's Iowa football beat reporter, and we're talking football this time around because we have Iowa football's chief of staff general manager, Tyler Barnes, here with us. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you very much. I know this is, you just finally reached your, I'm gonna put calm in quotation marks because I don't think things ever really stop, but at least it's not as busy as it was about a month ago when the transfer portal was open. So have we had a chance to catch up on sleep yet, or are we still, still working on that?
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad the past couple of weeks. It's GMs, front office people, personnel, coaching staffs, everybody's taking a collective sigh of relief from January, December. I mean, really the season, and then you know, once the season's over, it was right into the portal. I mean, we got back from the bowl game. Most everybody had a day to kind of collect themselves, and we were trying to get ready for the upcoming portal and getting guys on campus. So there really was no break. But it was good. It was a productive month in January. And our coaching staff, our personnel staff, everybody did a great job. Kind of identified what we were looking for. You know, we wanted to go out and add guys that had production, also guys that had years of eligibility left. And I think we kind of did that across the board, bringing in, you know, 16 transfers. And on top of that, too, we had 14 high school kids that started with us in January. So 30 new faces around the building, which is exciting. It's always good to get the guys back on campus, get them working out, and just get the building buzzing a little bit again after, you know, a couple weeks where we don't have any of our players here and it's kind of quiet and lonely around here.
When you talk about a quick turnaround, the bowl game was on New Year's Eve and the transfer portal opened January 2nd. So it was quite literally, like you say, it was one day. It's not an exaggeration. I mean, did you sleep at all at that point, or were you, did you get any sleep? Did you get to see anybody before chaos really erupted?
It was like a 2 week, it was like you were sprinting a marathon, you know? So it was hard to come up for air for a little bit, but it wasn't just us. It was everybody around the country. You know, it was a different time. You know, last year we had a window in December and then a window in the spring. This year, you know, we changed to having just one window in January. So we kind of knew it was going to be chaotic. You know, the biggest thing, you know, thankfully Coach Ferentz understands, you know, you have to have urgency in the portal, but you also have to make sure you're still calculated and you have to have some patience with it too, right? There were some guys we took late. There were a few guys we had to get on early right away and some guys that kind of popped up late. So there's no manual on how to handle the portal. And you never know who's going to go into the portal. You never know who's going to have interest in coming to your school. So, but thankfully it's, you know, I think we kind of had a good game plan going into it. And, with the help of all of our staff, you know, our strength staff, Coach Ferentz, our personnel staff, we were able to pull together a class that we feel pretty good about and a class we're excited about.
Well, one of the things I'm going to bring up here is right before everything kind of started slowing down for you guys, you put out a tweet. I think it was a Saturday night, a couple days before the portal closed. And you had just basically said, like, all right, we had three big signees today. I'm going to bed. And the reason I mentioned that is because you kind of touched on it. This is the first year where there was just 1 2-week portal window. And with this being your third year on this staff, how different was that approach for you guys? Did you feel like you needed to do more preparation up front during the ReliaQuest Bowl prep? Or did you guys kind of go about it business as usual and almost kind of take hits and changes as they appeared?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the entire bowl prep, all we were doing was watching guys. And, you know, it's changed. Obviously, the portal didn't open up until the second, but there's a lot of guys that put out their intentions that, whether it's the players themselves or their agents, that, you know, so-and-so is going to hit the portal. So you're trying to watch and evaluate as many guys as possible, and you're trying to really make sure the needs that we have, you know, the positions we're trying to target are still the same positions because, you know, things are fluid throughout the season. You know, every year before, even right now, we kind of have budgeted what we want to take in the 2027 class, and we kind of have budgeted what we want to take in the portal. And that can change as guys in our team rise and as young guys kind of continue to develop. You know, maybe you don't have a need like you thought you had. So you're always working on the class. You've always got an eye kind of forward towards that. But until it opens, it's just it's always chaotic in the portal window. This was definitely the most chaotic year I've experienced so far. And I think moving forward is probably going to continue to be the same. But the biggest thing is just, again, not rushing, not panicking. Just being patient, but also operating with a sense of urgency to kind of make sure we're identifying and attacking the needs that we have. And, And then when you get guys on campus, you know, it's still, it's a 24 hour interview. Obviously you bring them out with an offer, and, but you're still trying to figure out if this is exactly the guy you want. And in the meantime, you're trying to talk to the schools they were coming from. You're trying to talk to people that know them or have touched them just to get an idea on who the kid really is. It's speed dating on steroids is what it really is.
That's a good analogy for it. I like that. Speed dating on steroids feels like makes a lot of sense. You mentioned this earlier. It was also something that you mentioned when you guys formally announced the class of 16 transfer portal entrants that you guys ended up signing. You mentioned a priority was eligibility with this transfer portal class. I was curious, why was that such a priority, knowing that, you know, you had a lot of guys with a lot of development that you guys had created previously? I'm looking specifically at the defensive line when I say this, just with how mature that position group was. But what drew you guys to going for athletes that had maybe 2, 3, even 4 years rather than a few 1 year transfers, and focusing more there?
Yeah, I mean, we only took, of the 16 guys, only one guy's got 1 year of eligibility. Everybody else has 2, 3, and a couple guys even have 4. You know, the biggest thing, we're still a developmental football program, right? We want to build a roster as much as possible through the high school ranks, right? The high school ranks is essentially our draft when you're talking NFL. And then the transfer portal is like free agency. And for us, you know, we lost 28 seniors last year. I mean, we were a really, really veteran team. This year we have 11 seniors. So it's a completely different roster. And for us, you know, if you have to take a 1 year guy, it's fine. It's not the end of the world, but we don't want it to be just, you know, each year we're going just taking a 1 year guy and kind of band-aiding what we have or patchworking what we have. We want to be able to bring in guys that we can continue to develop, guys that have a chip on their shoulder, guys that are hungry to learn, guys that have an appreciation for how we operate and who we are. Hence why we took a lot of guys from the FCS ranks, you know, group of five guys. That's kind of how we're always going to be targeted. If you would have told me at the beginning of the portal we're going to get all these guys with multiple years left, I'd have been like, yeah, it's probably going to be tough to do. But it just kind of fell out that way, and we're pretty excited about it. Just being able to get in our program and have some stability and continuity with those guys with more than just 1 year left, I think is always important if you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of touched on it, so I'll mention this, but Cooper DeJean was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he actually was talking about how he's always viewed Iowa as kind of he calls it the NFL factory because it is built like an NFL program. How much pride does the program take in that, especially from a recruiting standpoint, and saying, you know, we've got current NFL players looking back on their time in college saying that this school truly did have an NFL feel and it prepared me for that next step?
Yeah, it's always going to be important. And that all starts with Coach Ferentz. That's his vision. That's what he's wanted this program to be like for 27 years now. And it was members to help him execute that vision. You know, again, Mark was a 1 year guy last year. Mark was a huge addition as a transfer. We wish he had him for 2. And you just think about, man, if you did have that guy for 2, how different would our team have been, and how different of a player would he have been at the end of it too? But we're not going to complain about getting him for 1 year. But it is, it's the way we're built is, again, just trying to get guys in here and have a chance to develop them, you know, get them in the weight room, get them around our strength staff, really pushing their limits and kind of see, you know, we know where their floor is when we get here. We need to see where their ceiling is. And it's hard to do with a 1 year guy. It's not impossible. It's just tough to do. Indiana had success with this year with Mendoza, obviously. And schools around the country do, but just the way we're built and the way we operate, it is truly very important for us to kind of, you know, keep working to get guys with multiple years left as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. You touched on this a little bit. I want to see if you can elaborate a little bit more. You mentioned really kind of going after a lot of group of five, a lot of FCS players. And if you look at the 16 signees, that's the majority of them. But one of the things that stands out is every single one of the group of five FCS transfers comes from a pretty decent individual resume on top of what they did collectively with their team. How important was that? Not just getting guys that want to develop, but have found success at the level that they were at before taking the next step to the Big Ten.
Yeah, production is huge. It's the number one thing we're looking for in the transfer portal. You know, there's a guy, maybe two in this entire class that maybe didn't have the numbers as most of the class, but usually, you know, some of those guys are guys we recruited out of high school, guys we knew very well, guys we felt strongly about. So, you know, every once in a while we'll kind of go that route. But for us, if you don't have production at any level you're playing at, why would we think you're going to come and elevate our roster and be better than the guys we currently have here? So it always starts with production, you know, and I think you're slicking across the class and student quickly. I think we had, you know, 4, almost 5 FCS All-Americans, you know, guys that they were productive, but they did it at a really high level at their schools, guys that were playing deep into the playoffs. And again, guys that came from programs we have some familiarity with, you know, programs that we know people on staff that we can kind of do background checks and just really dig into their work ethic, who they are, how they operate in the building. It's important to us, but it always starts with production. You know, if you're a five-star kid that's going to a school for 3 years and you haven't played, that scares us. You know, like, why haven't you played in 3 years? We'd much rather take a chance on a kid from a lower level school that's been on the field and played a high number of snaps and really excelled at a high level that way.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned we and us a few times. I remember during signing day, you made sure that you weren't the one getting all of the credit for what your recruiting staff has been able to do. How has the rest of the staff been able to help kind of make things a little bit easier? I know you're kind of the point person when it comes to all of this, but we also know that you're not alone as well. So what has it been like kind of having the support network around you?
I mean, we've got an awesome staff. You know, Scott Southmid's been here 20 plus years, our director of player personnel. Matt Spaulding's been here almost 10 years, our director of recruiting. Rhett Spines has been here 2 years. He's our director of recruiting research and strategy. And then Delana Cadell just joined us literally week one this year. She was here as a student before, but she was at Wisconsin and we stole her from up there. So, you know, this is the first year I've really been, I wouldn't say hands off in the process, but I really delegated a ton of what my responsibility used to be. And I'm not a control freak, but I never wanted to do it because I want to make sure things were done exactly how they're supposed to be done. But the staff we have put together this year, I mean, they've made it so much easier for me to focus on some of the other things I have to focus on in this new role as a general manager and the new era of, you know, revenue sharing and roster management. So without them, you know, I'm only as good as my staff is. So without those guys, I mean, I have no chance. And they've been rock stars. And they're getting a well-deserved little break here in February as well, which is good. So we can recharge and get ready for the madness that starts in March.
I was going to say, you guys have a little bit of, I go back to break in air quotes because things don't really ever stop in college football, but how nice is it to be able to kind of finish the football season, finish all of the ReliaQuest bowl prep, transfer portal windows closed, and be able to say, okay, we can catch up. I know you and I were talking about the basketball teams before this too. It was your mode of keeping up with sports right now.
Yeah, it's really the first year, you know, we've always had the transfer portal. It's just, it's obviously changed over the past, you know, few years with the windows, just coverage on media side of things. And obviously you throw in money and revenue sharing and collectives before, but this is the first time really ever that right now we know who our roster's locked in. We know exactly who's going to be here through the spring, through the summer, through the fall. You know, last year we didn't know that because we had a spring window. So you're still kind of re-recruiting your guys. You're doing it all year anyways, but last year with two windows, you're doing it at the end of the year and then you're doing it throughout the spring too. And you kind of wonder, all right, who's going to leave in the spring? Is there going to be surprises? This is nice where we know exactly who we have. I think it's healthy for the sport to have one window. I think it's great for our staff, our coaching staff. And again, they know exactly who they have. They can really get a head start on the football side of things and kind of just educating our guys and getting into the installs and whatnot. But it's, you know, February, it doesn't ever stop. You know, we can't have any kids on campus this month, which, you know, is good. I mean, you want to be around guys, but it's nice to have a little break, but you're still texting kids nonstop. You're still taking phone calls. You're planning for who's going to be here in March for spring ball visits. You're already starting to plan official visits in June. It really doesn't stop, but it's nice to, at this point in time, to shift back to just mainly purely high school recruiting. Right now the focus is on our 27 class, and you know, we won't even worry about the portal until, you know, at some point maybe in August, September, we'll kind of start circling back to that. But it's nice to have, you know, that singular focus on the high school guys and trying to fill out our class. It's going to be pretty small, but trying to fill out that class and add more guys to the boat next year.
Well, and one of the things that you mentioned a couple minutes ago that is the benefit of not having to have as many people on campus right now is that you get to worry about the ones that are on campus, and you get to bring in the 30 new athletes, the 16 transfers and the 14 true freshmen who started a semester early. What's it like getting new faces in the building again? How is it getting to interact with them more?
Yeah, it's always exciting. You know, it's you know, they're working out and they're in the weight room, they're lifting, they're conditioning right now. So you're not seeing them do a whole lot yet, but it's like you have 30 new toys, you know, and you want to see, you know, how cool are these toys and you know, what can they do and are they what we thought they were going to be? Obviously, we don't start spring football until March, but you get an idea in a sense just being around the kids and kind of seeing them lift and whatnot. But it's always fun to add new guys to the building and get new faces in here. It's unique, you know. We had a really, really special class last year, seniors. You know, 28 guys that, you know, we've got 9 guys that are going to be in Indianapolis for the combine. you know, I think this year will likely probably set a record for most draft picks in 1 year under Coach Ferentz. I mean, it was just up and down the entire class. It was a special class. So it's, you know, it's always bittersweet seeing those guys leave, even though some are still here working out in the building and most will be back here in a few weeks as they get ready for a pro day and keep training until the draft. But it's bittersweet seeing those guys leave, but then, you know, you kind of come back to having a different type of energy when you get all the new guys in the building and get them working. So it's a cycle, you know, it happens every year, but I know our coaches are always excited to get guys here and just kind of see what they can do and see how we're, you know, going to shape this next team for next season.
How often do you get opportunities to really have one-on-one interactions with some of these athletes after they've committed to Iowa? Is it kind of I'm just another face in the building after we've talked for a while, or do you make some kind of effort to sit down with them pretty often?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. It's, you know, that was one thing we kind of talked about with administration when all this had started, and kind of being in the general manager role and the guy that's really handling negotiations is your relationship with the athletes going to change? And I really don't think it has. I try and be as personable as possible. A lot of these guys, you know, whether they're transfers or high school kids, I've known since their sophomore year in high school. Like, I know their families well. I'm just another resource for them. You know, my door is always open, you know, rarely shut some phone call. I want to make sure that guys know when they're passing through the hallway, if they have anything, if they want to sit down and just come talk, if they want to talk ball, they want to, you know, yesterday I had a few guys in here talking about finances, the stock market, 401ks, how to handle their money. I want to be a resource for whatever they need help with. And I want to make sure we continue to maintain that relationship. And what's changed now is, you know, whether it's dealing with their agents or sometimes their parents or the athletes themselves, you're talking about money, and, you know, everybody wants more money. Unfortunately, we can't give everybody more money. We have a budget we have to stick to, but I want to make sure those conversations don't affect where our relationship is and where it's going with these guys, right? They know. I think the biggest thing I want them to know, and I'm always there for them. I'm always going to have their back, and whatever I can do to help them out on the field, off the field, getting to the NFL, like that's what all of us in this building are here for. That's the thing I love most about my job, is just being able to have these relationships with these guys, their families, and getting to know these guys much different than you guys, the fans, the media gets to know them, right? Because you get to interview them, right? But for the most part, you see them behind a helmet, and we get to see them every day in their element and really get to understand and know who they are. And that's one of the best parts about this job, without a doubt.
Well, and that's why us as the media often trust so much of what you guys say when you say that this person has this kind of personality and this is what they like to do, is because you guys see them a heck of a lot more than the fan base than we do, too. So it makes it that much more interesting to learn about some of these athletes. Speaking of athletes that we want to learn about, I was going to ask you guys just announced two additional signees to your freshman class. Obviously was a little later because of the signing day was back in December for the freshman class, but I was curious if you could elaborate a little bit on Eli and Maddie, who both put pen to paper just a couple hours ago, I guess now.
Yeah, it's Maddie actually he committed a couple weeks ago. It was in the midst of the chaos in early January, but long snapper from the St. Louis area who were excited to get here and get rolling in June. And then Eli Campman, and obviously well-known name, dad Aaron played in the NFL for quite some time. Eli will be joining us as a defensive back from just right down the road in Solon. So, but both guys, those two, along with eight others, you know, we have 10 more guys that will start with us in June, and guys that are still in high school, finishing up their senior in high school. So really, when you look at it, you're talking about 40 new faces, when everybody gets here in June. But, you feel great about, you know, those two guys. And obviously Eli grew up watching the Hawkeyes, right? That's a black and gold family through and through. So having a chance for him to live out his dream and stay close to home where, you know, his parents are is something that's pretty cool. And we're excited to get both guys here in about 4 or 5 months now.
Well, it feels like it's been a lot closer than 4 or 5 months, especially it's February 5th today. So we're exactly 7 months out from the first football game of 2026, if we can believe it or not. Does it feel like now that the schedule's out, like we just said, there's 7 months until kickoff, does it feel like there's a football season looming? Are you still trying to enjoy a little bit of respite? Like what are your vibes sitting in February and how things are kind of coming at everybody?
Yeah, it's there's always lulls when players aren't in the building. It's because in January, players aren't in the building, our coaches are out recruiting, so it's pretty quiet and lonely in here. Honestly, it's myself, our support staff, there's, you know, some coaches in and out depending on who's on campus, but it's always exciting when guys are back in the building, because there's a different buzz, right, and there's just a different vibe and energy in the building when all of our players are here. And it won't really feel like, football season's close until we really get on the field and start working and get in spring practice. But yeah, again, it's without our guys here, man, it's not the same building. It really isn't. You know, the whole energy changes when they're here. So it's good to get them back. I know they're working their butts off down in the weight room. And it seems like everybody's off to a good start so far. And the new guys have integrated well. You know, the returning guys, the veterans, have done a good job of kind of throwing their arms around the new guys and helping lead them. And that's something, you know, we try and, you know, make sure we always have with that culture. And it's important to us. But it's always fun to see how guys just kind of blend in and keep working and join the older guys.
I want to go back to talking about Campman a little bit because of how familiar that name is to this fan base. Not the first time that we've seen a father-son kind of leading each other, going through this program together, especially under Kirk Ferentz. Definitely not the first time that we've seen it. Definitely won't be the last either. But how fun is it to be able to know that, you know, you're recruiting somebody that understands the history, understands the expectations because they had a parent that lived through it and maybe didn't know just because, you know, they've watched Iowa football on TV their whole life?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, you love recruiting kids regardless of where their parents went that were college athletes, right? Because they understand the grind. They understand just a little bit better just the process of being a collegiate athlete. But when it's you know, kids that their dads played here or their moms went to school here, it's always huge. And you know, that's the beauty of Coach Ferentz being here 27 years, going into year 28, was here, you know, 9 years in the 80s. There's a lot of alumni that when they come through the building, it's the same staff, it's the same people that coached him, it's the same head coach they had. So they have a different trust and belief in the program and the head coach, and that's always huge. And it helps too. And you know that recruit has grown up watching Iowa games every single Saturday and has Hawkeye posters in his room and a ton of Iowa gear, and has had a chance to be around the program and kind of hear about it on, you know, maybe a daily basis from their parents. It's always a good thing. Just coming in with the understanding of how we operate, who we are, how important our culture is, how important that locker room is to our success and the way we're built. It's a big deal, a real big deal. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that Iowa football has always been is consistent, and something that we didn't get a ton to talk about this during National Signing Day, but I wanted to ask you here. Iowa's always had a consistent effort to make sure that they still bring on preferred walk-ons, even with all of the changes, the roster limits, things like that. With the history of success that you all have found with a lot of these preferred walk-ons, why is it so important to continue to give guys who might not get a scholarship offer from the University of Iowa a shot to still be able to wear a Hawkeye jersey?
Yeah, I mean, our walk-on history and tradition here is pretty well documented. I mean, it's a huge part of our fabric of who we are. You know, any given year, there's going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5 walk-ons in the 2-deep. You know, there's guys starting that started as walk-ons and ended up earning scholarships. Caden Weechen is an easy one to pick from last year, All-American, who we tried to get to walk-on out of high school, and then eventually we had a walk-on out of JUCO. But for us, I think it's different too, probably the way we approach recruiting walk-ons and the way we treat walk-ons. You know, we recruit walk-ons almost just as hard as scholarship guys. And when they get here and we preach it to the kids and the parents before they end up committing to us, is that once you're in the building, there's no difference, right? Like there's guys in our team that don't know who's on scholarship, who are walk-ons. They have no idea. Because when you get here, you're going to just be sitting at the same meals. You're going to be working on the same lift groups. You're going to be held to the same standards academically, socially, everything. There's no difference. One kid's, you know, maybe paying for his tuition. The other kid isn't. And then opportunity, you know, we don't care if you're a fifth-year 5-star senior or a true freshman walk-on. If you can help us, you know, we're going to put you on the field and put you in a position to help us. So, that's something that's not going to change. It's been a little bit different with the reduction to the 105 roster count. Just the amount of walk-ons we take each year is starting to shrink. And that's unfortunate, you know, obviously, because there's another 5 to 10 kids in the state of Iowa that would have loved to be part of the signing class that we just didn't have room for this year. So we got to be a little bit more calculated in who we take because of those roster numbers being reduced. But at the end of the day, our approach to recruiting walk-ons and taking walk-ons is always going to stay the same. They're extremely important and vital to our success with this program.
Mm-hmm. And then we've talked a lot about this culture that you guys have harped on, that you see the team naturally gravitate towards one another, veterans welcoming in transfers and some of these spring semester entrants on the freshman class. You're going to get the rest of the class later this summer in June. What's it like integrating freshmen when they start college a semester early versus when they start in the summer? How do you go about getting them to feel included, especially when one half is starting classes and things like that, and the other, you know, gets a little bit more buffer before they start the college life?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, huge shout out to Sam Brinks and Noah Shannon, you know, our director of player development and assistant director of player development, because they, you know, once kids sign and commit to us, I'm not done with them at that point, but usually I kind of hand them off to Sam and he takes care of the onboarding and get them situated in Scott South Mid with application admissions, and Sam finds housing, all the important dates. He does a ton of communication with the kids and the parents in terms of getting him here on campus and getting them settled and set up with everything. So, I mean, it really takes a village to get guys here. But the beauty is a lot of these guys have been on campus for official visits. They've been here to game day visits. So they know guys on our team. So when they get here, it's not like it's completely foreign. And our older guys, I think just the way we've always been built is they know when we have new guys on campus, it is your job too, to help, you know, integrate them into the program and put an arm around them and help them just kind of lead them to where they need to go. And because, you know, in the recruiting process, we do everything in our power to avoid egos, guys that, you know, we want guys that understand and fully appreciate the culture here and the how important it is. So you can't come in and just be a me guy. That's we don't like those guys at Iowa. We try to avoid those guys at Iowa. So when you recruit the right way out of high school, whether it's a transfer coming in or a high school kid, the guys that are here on the roster understand it is their job. And those guys might be competing for your job. They might be coming to take your spot, but iron sharpens iron, right? So if you can throw an arm around a guy and just kind of give him the lay of the land and show him how we operate and how we work, it's going to make everybody's life much easier. And thankfully, we've got a really good foundation of culture and team here, and just really good guys that understand that and appreciate it and embrace it, you know, which makes our jobs easier.
Mm-hmm. And well, I know we've kind of joked on it a little bit, but with things slowly starting, we're in February now, which means spring ball slowly starting to become something you can see on the horizon. How soon, or how are you already itching to kind of get the football energy back in the building a little bit? Does it feel like the football, like the atmosphere of having these guys being able to go out and fully practice? Are you missing that? Are you ready for that to be back? Or are you kind of like, I'm trying to enjoy a little bit more of a break while I still have it?
Yeah, I think everybody, coaches included, is ready to get back to it. But it is good. You know, this is a really important period for our guys, this 8-week session where they're in the weight room. You know, a lot of guys, especially the high school kids, even the guys that were freshmen on rosters last year, you know, a lot of them played basketball. They wrestled. They had track in the spring. They were baseball players. So this is the first time that they're going through being a true college football player and going through an off-season program. And that's where you see a lot of changes in kids. You know, they get bigger. They get faster. They get stronger. Their bodies change. So that's always exciting, seeing what they look like going into spring ball after getting through this 8-week period. But yeah, I mean, if the coaches had a choice, we'd be on the practice field today, you know, right away out there throwing it around, getting pads on. But it's good for our guys. You know, it's just there's a cycle in terms of how everything works here. And this is a really important cycle that our guys are going through to really just, you know, really improve their bodies and, again, get bigger, stronger, faster. So it's the energy is definitely back in the building. You know, on Saturdays, our guys kind of have team-led, you know, workouts. That they're, you know, our older guys, our captains kind of, you know, run everything, which is cool to see. And I know they're itching too, but there's also a reason that, we don't start spring ball until March, and their bodies need some time to kind of relax and keep building to get ready for next year.
With how much Iowa really does place a focus on development, how fun is it for you to be able to meet an athlete when they're as young as maybe 15 and to see them grow and graduate with the program, maybe even holding a leadership position as a captain, doing those team led workouts in the off season? What's that like for you, just as somebody who gets to be around them as much as you get to be?
It's awesome. It's one of the most rewarding things. And, you know, coming up in April with the draft, that's always a really cool thing to see, you know, when, you know, you're going to see, you know, how many ever guys that get drafted, but you hear their names called. You think back to the first time they were on campus and they're this little snot-nosed kid. They're not little. Most of our guys are much bigger than me. But it is cool to reflect on their journeys. And that's the cool part of just, you know, again, fans come out Saturday. They root for our guys. They love seeing draft picks. But, you know, there's so much more that goes into the entire relationship and developmental process of our players. And it's really rewarding to see guys that come in and they do. They work their tails off for 3, 4, 5, some 6-year guys. And then have a chance to realize their dream of playing on Sundays. And, you know, a lot of you know, I mean, it's, you talk about Jennings Dunker, right? You said the Senior Bowl last week, and Jennings is maybe the most unique individual I've ever encountered in my life. And I don't think we'll ever have anybody like him again. But, you know, he had one offer from Iowa and he got here, and he was a young guy. And, you know, I think we all knew what Jennings could become. Did we know he was going to become the dunk that he is now and just a really badass football player? You know, maybe not, but just every story is different, and being able to see, you know, their stories unfold as they get older and they realize some football success. It's really special. It's one of the best parts of the job, without a doubt.
Well, and it's also fun when you have viral moments like Dunker talking about his nutrition diet during interviews during the Senior Bowl, or Bo Stevens, you know, kind of showing off what he's been able to do on the offensive line and things like that. I did want to ask, speaking of some offensive line members, I had a chance to see the Joe Moore Award sitting in the Hanson building for the first time earlier this week. What was the corner spot that ended up being picked? Was that just the best place for it? Any sort of decision as to why, where you put it there? Because I had a good laugh of it, staring it down.
Yeah, we won it in 16. We actually kept it on the main floor in the lobby in there. And it's huge. I mean, you could sleep in that thing. It's gigantic. I don't know how they picked that one, but actually it works out. I like it better there than where it was in 16 when we won it. But that's a testament to those guys. Coach Barnett, I mean, he's done such an unbelievable job with the offensive line. You know, kind of rebuilding that room, and there were some rough times early on, but, you know, those guys never flinched. You know, Coach Barnett, the players, they never flinched. They kept rolling. And it's a good group, you know, starting with the five from last year that probably should have won the Joe Moore Award and didn't, and then the five guys we had this year. You know, you think about it, I mean, the five guys last year, two are in the NFL right now, Connor Colby, Mason Richmond's playing in the Super Bowl this weekend, and then you got the three guys, Lojo, Bo, and Dunk, that'll be drafted this year. And then the other two guys that started for us this year, they're going to be draft picks as soon as next year if they want to be. So that's impressive when you can say over 2 years you had seven guys starting the offensive line, all seven were drafted. And that again, you just can't talk enough about the job that Coach Barnett has done with those guys. And you know, the room has changed. There's a different vibe in the room. There's a different belief. There's a different confidence. You know, he's done a really good job building it with the guys that he wants in that room. And, you know, we're a very small piece of that in the personnel side, trying to help him identify and find those guys. But it's cool to see. As a team, has had a really great O-line tradition, you know, and they took, you know, they took a beating from the public and the fans for a couple years. And again, just to see them turn it around and show them that, hey, we're back as O-line U, it's been really cool to see.
Well, so with Mason Richmond playing for the Seahawks, does that mean you're pulling for the Seahawks on Sunday? Or are you leaning towards the Patriots?
Yeah. I don't follow either team, but since there's only one Hawkeye playing in the Super Bowl, I'm absolutely going to be pulling for the Seahawks. You know, that's kind of how I roll these days. If the Bears aren't in it, I don't care too much.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm a Bills fan, just having a little bit more of the Western New York experience and getting to experience Bills Mafia. But after I was pulling for the Bears for a little bit too. I was like, a Bear, seeing that story kind of go for a while would be really, really fun. So absolutely. I was definitely a little bit of a Chicago bandwagon for some of the season. I will fully admit that, but
we'll take
Tyler. Tyler, thank you so much for joining. This has been great getting to talk to you about this, and we really appreciate you taking the time of a rather busy calendar year that you get to have.
No worries. I appreciate it. It was fun being on here.
Thank you, guys. And if you guys like this content, we have a new episode of the podcast every single week. And the newsletter with the exact same name, Hawk Off the Press, comes out every Friday morning. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.